Pagan Coffee Talk. Here are your hosts, Lady Alba and Lord Knight.
So I was looking over the list of topics that you have for the podcast, and one of the ones you had written down was, why is everyone suddenly dyslexic? And I thought that was great, because I know where you're coming from, because it's not really about dyslexia, obviously. You're just using your own experience. Talk about it.
Let's think about how all this started, all right? When I was younger, they found out I was dyslexic, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I never heard of it because I was born in the 70s.
Yeah.
And now when I became an adult, all of a sudden, if somebody wrote a letter down backwards once, I might have a little bit of dyslexia.
Mm-hmm. We have huge rises in all sorts of areas of the human condition. ADHD, autism, dyslexia, autoimmune disorders. All these things that you rarely, if ever, heard about are now more and more common. So I guess the question becomes, is this an evolution of humans?
Or is this just, I need to be special some way?
Maybe. Or is it also that science has just become the medical field, right? Everything is more advanced. And so these things are easier to categorize or understand.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like what I hear the same thing, especially when we're using like that word neurodivergent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, okay, when did this happen to everybody?
Well, I think the idea of neurodivergence is very appealing to a lot of people, because I think when you really start stripping it away and you look at what neurodivergent people are capable of, how they see things differently, how they process information differently, it's appealing. But the question then becomes, do you also want to take the negative with it? Do you also want to take, right?
I mean, there's negatives about being dyslexic. There are certain things I do in my head that people don't realize I do.
Well, I mean, I have, my niece is autistic. And I go, she's a brilliant child, but there's a host of issues and, right, social distress that comes with her condition,
mm-hmm.
despite how amazingly her brain works.
Right.
Everybody wants to kind of go, oh, I'm a little of this. I mean, I also kind of liken it to sexuality. I mean, when we were growing up, right. It was very cut and dry. I feel like, again, older generation, 70s, early 80s, initially it was like, okay, there's gay and there's straight. And then the 90s... Right? It was a joke for a long time. Like, everybody in the 90s was bisexual. Everybody. All of a sudden, being bisexual was cool.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I ran across a few of them guys that never went out with guys, never pulled around with guys, but I am bisexual.
Right. And for women especially, it was normalized. So a lot of women were dabbling, exploring, or kind of taking up the title. But then you go, but are you really?
You see what I'm saying? Because I'm like you. I've heard like these people. I've heard some things. I'm not sure how it is, but some of the pesticides and stuff on food may be causing some of these issues. Because I know autism was linked to a certain pesticide.
I think we're still theorizing. There's so many things that have been linked to potentially other things, but nobody really knows for sure. Autoimmune disorders, same thing. Huge spike in them. And now there's all these different names for them, right? We have lupus, and we have MS, and we have fibromyalgia, and Hashimoto's, and there's an assortment of others. And again, you kind of go, has this always been there and we just didn't know it? We didn't have a way to diagnose it? Or is something going on where it's now more common?
Right. Or is it just the latest fad? Nope. I mean, because I remember them jokes in the 90s that they would often play on some of these shows where it was like, oh, no, my mom's got fibromyalgia. That is so last year.
Yeah.
You know, why couldn't she have this disease that's more...
Mm.
I mean, this became a joke for a while.
I think aspects of it are always a joke. You know, my own personal issue is always when people say, oh, you're so bipolar, or, right, that's so bipolar. That person is behaving... It's like, wait a minute, if you actually had any clue what that meant and what you were saying, you would never say those words. Because in a casual sense, right, yes, I think people understand what you mean. It's you're saying that that person is mercurial and they're unpredictable, maybe. But to actually label them as bipolar is totally different. So there's a bit of an insensitivity there. To certain aspects of this. And I think that that's where your argument comes in. It's that people want to be unique. They want to be different, but they're not. Yeah, they're just not being sensitive to the people who are actually struggling with one of these conditions, or, you know, whose lives have been made more difficult by it.
It makes no sense to me sometimes. Again, like I said, yeah. I've sat down, I've had this conversation. You know, I remember one lady literally sitting there going, yeah, she wrote a 7 back once when she was 12.
Right, backwards, yeah. I'm dyslexic.
And
yeah.
So I'm dyslexic. And you're kind of like, you know, and when you're sitting there trying to explain to people, no, you don't know what it's like. You have to sit at home, mm-hmm. wait for your husband or a family member to come home to read something to you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're just,
I don't know. I think. You know, there's classifications these fall under. I think the more physiological conditions, the things that are neurologically impacting people, something's up. Like, something's wrong. You know what I mean?
That
this is rampant. And until science really gets a handle on what it is, what's causing it, and why, I don't know if we're going to have answers there. But then... The other components of it, yeah, I think people just aren't realizing
what they're doing. I mean, it's just like I've noticed. You know, I remember being younger. I remember having migraines as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you occasionally have them.
I have them as an adult. Yeah, I didn't have them as a child.
But I've noticed that seems to be on an uprise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it makes me think there might be something we're in our environment or we're doing that.
Well, again, I think, you know, that to me is an interesting debate about migraines, because I find more often than not that most of the people who go, oh, I'm having a migraine, you're really just having a very, very annoying or bad headache. When you really experience or talk to someone who suffers from migraines, you're talking about seeing auras and having vision blackouts and extreme sensitivities to light. My brother has them so bad his arm goes numb.
Ooh.
That's one of the ways he knows that one is onsetting. He will lose sensation down to his fingertips. His vision will go wonky and he'll go, I've got 30 minutes.
Right.
I need medication and I need it now.
Well, see, I looked out on my migraines because we figured it out. It was that red dye number 9.
Yeah. But then for some people, yeah, if they're not treated within a certain window, I've seen it firsthand. He'll be face down in a toilet for 2 days
mm-hmm.
because of one of these migraines. And it's awful. But yeah, that's not what most people know. They know headaches.
Right.
So, you know, are we over-exaggerating a bit? Yeah, probably. I've always found it humorous that humans have this need to sort of one-up each other in their disaster ratio.
Well, I'm sorry, any ratio.
Sure, sure. But now, but for modern times, it has become... I mean, I remember listening to my mom do it with her friends, like when I was growing up. You know, it would be like... Oh, I've had such a bad day. Oh, wait till you hear about my day, right? And they would, it was like, who could outdo each other with the worst news or the worst child or the worst, like, financial situation, or it was, it's kind of twisted when you think about it that people do that, but yeah, it's an attention-seeking behavior for sure.
Oh yeah, I remember my mom sitting there complaining when she found out all her kids picked up smoking while sitting there smoking on one herself.
Right, right, right. That's so funny.
I don't know where they picked that up.
I can't believe they're all smoking. Yeah. Where are my cigarettes? That's so funny. That's really funny.
Well, I guess my question is on this. I don't understand what do you think would motivate someone to want to do this, to claim to have something they really don't have? Do you see what I'm asking?
Well, because again, we tend to only look at the bright side. And when it comes to neurodivergence, we look at all the amazing, again, things, attributes, skills that somebody with that ability can achieve. Here's another one for you. You used to never hear about eidetic memories, right? People who remember everything.
Yeah.
Everything they read, everything they see, they can remember it perfectly.
Yeah, we used to call this photographic memory.
Exactly. So now it's you know, eidetic, photographic, whatever, same thing. But, you know, it's very rare. It's extraordinarily rare to actually find someone who has this ability. But the more it was, you know, talked about in the media or it was portrayed in TV shows, all of a sudden people would go, I think that's me. I think I can do that. I never forget a face, or I never forget. And it's like, no, 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 no. You may have a good memory, but someone with an eidetic memory, it's not just a fun party trick. You're talking about somebody who's plagued by every event that's ever happened to them in their entire life and every piece of information ever.
Ever.
They are, the fact that those people can walk and talk and interact.
But I guess what people don't understand is a married couple with one of them having this, that person with that is never going to forget that fight.
Oh my God.
They're never going to forget that slide. They're never going to forget.
And often when you meet people who truly are, who have photographic memory, what's interesting is they're very cold. They're very stoic. They're very logical. Again, I don't know why I always go back. They're a little Vulcan. You know, I watch too much Star Trek apparently, but and people mistake that, right? They think it's just a level of intelligence. Yeah, it's part of it, but the other part is this is somebody who's had to desensitize themselves to their environment to be able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand that. You know, it's really trippy. And that's what's crazy. When you have someone who really truly has a disorder of some sort or something that makes them different than the average person in the population, I don't know. There is this weird, like, I want that.
But see, but now with this said, but let's look at it this way. I don't see too many people going around going, oh, I'm a savant.
No.
Because again, we realize a savant is someone who is
extremely rare
because these people can't function with the world, but
But keep in mind, we've also seen two generations now that it's the participation trophy joke, right?
Right.
Everybody gets the gold star.
Everybody's special.
Right. Every child is, good job, buddy. That was, you know, even when it was crap. The level of overachieving encouragement and the hubris that we are giving our children is a bit much. You know, when people go, oh my God, you know, that kid is such a spoiled brat. Well, yeah, because they've been told they're amazing at everything their whole life. So it kind of makes you go, why wouldn't they grow up to be slightly egomaniacal adults who think that they are
perfect,
special?
Right.
Not perfect, but special. Different than everyone else.
See, I've been in management for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, when I started to see these people coming in, these younger people coming in to do interviews,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be sitting there going, well, I can do your job. I'm sorry, you just graduated from high school. I got 20 years of experience.
Yep. Well, and that's what I mean. That's a hell of an ego.
That's a lot of ego walking
through the door. I mean, in a weird way, yeah, I know many times growing up, you know, I thought my parents were mean, but, you know, when they were like, that's not for you.
No.
Like, you shouldn't do... Yeah, I mean, what they were telling me was, honestly, don't waste your time there. Find another skill. Find a talent that's more suited to you. Now we see that as, oh, we're squashing people's dreams or we're killing their ambitions. Not really. Not everybody can be good at everything.
No.
It's just, it's not realistic. I mean, and I think that's funny because for younger people in the pagan community, that can be a challenge because they often, especially in a traditionalist environment, they get knocked down a couple pegs real fast.
Oh, God, yes.
And that, depending on the person, right, it can either be devastating or it can make them very, very angry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And other people can just make them really, really determined to get it right next time.
That's always a possibility. It's somebody who's motivated by that. But more often, it's where we see, again, these really big clashes of ideals and where the younger, and I'm only talking about people maybe 10 years younger than us, but they look at some of the methods or the things that traditionalists do and they just think, oh, that's too rigid. Oh, it's mean. Is it, or are we just trying to be realistic? Are we trying to create a community that is more sound by acknowledging people's strengths where they have it and encouraging those, but also being honest enough to say, maybe that's not for you?
It happens. There's a lot of things I've tried, and I'm just...
Yeah.
It just did not work out well.
No.
Right? Me making bread is not one of them. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of that kind of stuff, but I think, you know, that's... Yeah, it's the ability to self-regulate your abilities and acknowledge what you can and cannot do. And I mean, again, can't is such a shitty word because nobody likes can't. But again, it's not all or nothing.
I mean, there's a difference between can and, well, you just don't do it well.
Exactly. You know, there are plenty of things I can do. But I'm not gonna do them well.
You know, there's a lot of maintenance and stuff I can do around the house. I'm not gonna do it as well as a professional.
Well, that's what I mean. So
I can at least patch it up long enough to get a professional
right.
out.
Right, but because of that, our attitude tends to be, well, if this person is more skilled, there, let them be. Let that person shine in that area, and I will gladly take a step back.
Well, now for us, this is a whole lot easier because Lord Men drilled into our heads repeatedly.
Yeah.
Know your field of expertise.
Yeah. Yeah. And general was not an answer.
No.
You couldn't, I have a general expertise in craft. No.
No.
Get specific. What do you do?
What is it that you do?
Justify your life. Still one of my favorite lines. Very undervalued cartoon. It was very short-lived, but yeah, Neighbors from Hell. That was the big, you know, that was the big catchphrase, justify your lives. And it always does make me giggle and make me think of Lord Men a little bit, because he was never that mean, of course.
No.
But that was the idea. What is your value? Yeah. What do you bring to the table?
What do you have? What skill set?
Yeah.
Because not everybody has the same skill set.
No, but at the same time, how can we cultivate that skill set while also, tempering what you may or may not achieve? Yeah, I don't know. It really is a fascinating discussion. And then, of course, there's plenty of people who I'm sure are out there going, you know, my child has been diagnosed with X, Y, or Z at a very young age. And again, you go, why is there so much of this
going on?
I don't know. I'd like to think, I would genuinely like to think, in some ways, our brains are evolving.
Well, as I'd like to say that, but there's still a part of me that still think there is a social contagion part to this.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I don't, it's one of them 50-50s mixed for me.
Yeah.
Because I believe there are some people out there that are just doing it because it's a social contagion.
Right. I mean, and it could just be a case of misdiagnosis. It could just be, yeah, a misplaced belief. I don't know.
See, I'm not sure either. I mean, again, like I said earlier, autism's on its way up, and I'm back like you. What evolutionary benefits could all of humanity get from these people?
I mean,
we have no idea.
We don't yet, but we're on the way to starting to see that.
You know, I mean, for us to sit here and to assume that, I've noticed that we do. We sit here and assume evolution just stopped,
which is a ridiculous notion.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We sit here. Evolution's done. We're just the way we're supposed to be.
Absolutely not.
I don't see that as true.
No, if that was the case, we'd be dying out. The species would be ending.
I still believe that there is going to be a person, they're going to be born in the United States, that are going to have the best genes of all the races. And that person's going to kick some ass.
I don't know if they'll be born in the U.S. or not, but I mean, I do think, we're moving in a direction where, I mean, look, I don't know about you, but I challenge just about anybody who says otherwise. Most interracial children are beautiful.
Oh my God. Gorgeous. They,
right? Like the most gorgeous humans on the planet, and it kind of lends that, right, this is why our genes are meant to be spread out and
over.
Yes,
because the ones I've known and heard of, actually I've never, their parents, listening to their parents, the kids are very, very literally not sick at all, hardly.
Interesting.
They'll, I mean, again, they'll get the cold, they'll get their flus and stuff like that, but no major problems.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Because again, you're introducing new into that gene pool, and that only stands to benefit. Yeah, that's DNA's friend. I mean, we see the opposite with dogs, right?
Right.
The overbreeding, the inbreeding, all the genetic problems that they have. Well, duh. What the hell do you think would happen to us if we kept, you know, screwing around with our cousins and?
What is that? What is that? The royal disease. The inbreeding.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
No, the free bleeding, what's that called?
Oh, I have hemophilia?
That seems to be a thing linked to inbreeding.
There's a lot of things that are linked to inbreeding, but, I mean, you know, if we hadn't evolved past and understood, my God, you can't do that. You know, this idea of, right, a pure race is absolutely bullshit.
It makes no sense
to me. No, not at all. We're designed to seek out, in some ways, what is different to strengthen a bloodline. It's really wild.
I'm sorry. I was waiting for you to say, you know, we are. We're meant to go seek out and shag everything.
I mean, kinda. That's the other problem. Kinda. I mean, yeah. But it is. It's fascinating. I think it's something that people should spend a little more time considering. I don't know that we have answers to it, but food for thought.
I always like food for thought.
Yeah. I also like coffee for thought.
Oh, coffee would be good. Coffee.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week for another episode. Pagan Coffee Talk is brought to you by Life Temple and Seminary. Please visit us at lifetempleseminary.org for more information, as well as links to our social media. Facebook, Discord, Twitter, YouTube, and Reddit.
We travel down this trodden path, a maze of stone and mire. Just hold my hand as we pass by a sea of blazing pyres. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning breaks. And so it is the end of our days, so walk with me till morning.